This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites on Tuesday, September 14. I'm joined by
Richard Bradbury.
Richard Bradbury. Good afternoon to you. What are we talking about today? We're talking about how the future of work is remote. And we have a question that's happening on Twitter and Instagram. And the question is your company implementing remote work permanently? Why or why not? Over on Twitter, the options are yes, all remote. Yes, only hybrid. No, all back in the office. Or no, not applicable for me at all. Also, I guess you can chat with us via WhatsApp, and the number is, Richard,
018-789-8899. I know you're trying to catch me out because I'm not in the studio. I know your tricks, Frida Liu.
I just want to make sure that I get you involved in this conversation, right? I don't want to leave you on the side there. So we're talking about this because it's clear that remote work is here to stay. So according to a BV of surveys and statistics, it's been a long time coming. So how will Malaysia adapt to a new mainstream? What are the pros and cons? So today's white-collar staff are living through a radical transformation of professional life, one the economists say is already beginning to jumpstart economic productivity and accelerate innovation. The pandemic has weakened the gravitational pull of city centres, with new forces now reshaping knowledge-based economies. Public transport journeys into cities are down, as are coffee shop sales, while demand for real estate in leafy suburbs is up. While a more permanent transformation of working life will have painful consequences for many inner-city businesses, economists see a recalibration underway that can revitalize smaller towns and suburbs, and new digital condo tools mean that mean that retail and hospitality, as well as knowledge intensive industries, are already undergoing far reaching change.
Now, we know the clues were there before COVID-19 struck. In 2013, a landmark study by Stanford University's Nicholas Bloom found that working from home boosted productivity by 13%. And a University of Oxford research paper in 2019 revealed that happy staff closed more sales. No surprise there. Countries with stagnant productivity records will be paying close attention. So in 2019, Britain, bless us all, lagged 15% below its pre-crisis trend for total factor productivity, according to Bloomberg Economics. It's a slump without parallel, exacerbated by Brexit, an aging population, and the pandemic. European peers have struggled, whilst the US has found it hard to break away from the pack. And at this point, with the Delta variant spreading rapidly around the world, many corporate return to office plans are being put on hold. But evidence from almost 18 months of the pandemic is helping to inform C-suite decisions.
So a glut of companies, new and old, want to marry the benefits of remote work with the efficiency of face-to-face meetings. For example, Alphabet Inc.'s Google will let employees spend 2 days wherever they work best, and even banking titans will allow some flexibility. Morgan Stanley's Chief Executive Officer James Gorman sees office working at not 100%, but not 0% of total hours. Still, as more work happens away from traditional offices, workers will infuse a wider range of communities with their wealth and business knowledge, distributing economic gains more equitably, according to Abigail Adams-Prassi, an economist at the University of Oxford. Hybrid working also has the potential to encourage a more diverse range of people into the workforce, reducing a long-standing productivity issues by making use of the skills of people who are otherwise not working or not working very much. That includes mothers and people living outside major cities. The flexibility to work from home could also encourage older workers to stay in the labour force for longer. The UK's Office for National Statistics said that's a priority of economies confronting ageing populations.
But on the negative side, city centre cafes, shops, hairdressers catering to professionals are very much exposed, with experts calculating that a shift to partial working from home will hit annual spending in major US city centres relative to pre-pandemic levels. Also, numerous surveys and polls have shown that the boundary between private and personal life is now more difficult to define for people who work from home, especially when there are children at home. Freed from the time constraint of, quote, leaving the office, they will, for example, work later or compensate for time spent during doing homework with their children. And the risk is that of seeing the overtime accumulate.
Right. It's the guilt, isn't it? Now, according to a recent report by the EU Agency for the Improvement of Living and Working Conditions, Eurofound, European home-based teleworkers are twice as likely to work more than the EU's legal 48-hour work week. They're also more likely to work in their free time. Far from being new, this difficulty is separating professional and personal life has highlighted a notion that already existed before the pandemic, the right to disconnect. In other words, not being connected to Slack, Zoom, Teams, or even answering work emails and phone calls received outside of work hours. In 2017, France was the first country to officially enforce this right in all companies with more than 50 employees. Belgium, Spain, and Italy are the other three EU member states who have implemented similar measures.
The new Eurofound report includes case studies illustrating the implementation and impact of the right to disconnect in the workplace. Here's a quote. The experience of the first four member states that have introduced rules and agreements on the right to disconnect prior to 2021 has demonstrated the pivotal role of the social partners in ensuring these rules are translated into reality on the ground. This is outlined by the survey. Study also shows that companies are more likely to educate and train their teams on disconnection, than employing more drastic methods such as cutting off access to company communications at specific times.
Right. We have to teach people how to disconnect.
Yes, we do.
Right.
It's difficult, you know. Funnily enough, I did a show with Matt on Matt Splain on this very topic not too long ago. And we spoke about, you know, some of the countries that are coming forward and laying down these laws. And I think me and Christine and Arv covered it not too long ago on EBB about how difficult it is to educate some of the companies that are out there that have been in that situation where if it's not broke, we don't need to fix it. And it's still that it can be a very difficult discussion to have with C-suite who have been in that position for this long.
Right.
And see as well, you know, there are people sat at home like we're doing right now, Frida.
Right.
You know, working from home half the time and working in the studio half the time. You don't always need to be in the office, you know, and it's taken a long time for a lot of people to come and realize this. But in the last few months, it's been accelerated so fast that if you don't change now, it's too late.
You know, okay, the other plus factor that I see in this is that you can get talent now from all, from a wider area.
Anywhere.
Right?
Anywhere.
So someone who chooses to live in the suburbs or live outside of the state, perhaps, can now, you know, you can now employ them in, you know, maybe they want to be in a less hectic part of life, right? Like less hectic part of the country, and yet still want to work, right? So you've got the best of both worlds. So I think that's a great thing moving forward. Anyway, we have an expert to talk about this later. This is the head of operations at Randstad Malaysia, Farhad Naeem. We've got him on the line, so we'll speak to him a little later. And we are asking the question, is your company implementing remote work permanently? Why or why not? Let us know via Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, and also over WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. That's all happening after this. BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon, Frida Liu here together with Richard Bradbury's Enterprise BizBytes. Today we're asking, is your company implementing remote work permanently? Why or why not? Quick look at the poll results, Rich.
Yeah, over on Instagram, 78% of you are saying no, not at all. And then over on Twitter, we've got 48% are saying yes, but only hybrid. 20% of saying yes, all remote. 20% saying no, all back in the office, with 11.2% saying no, not applicable for me. One message over on Instagram from Li Xuan, who says face-to-face communication is better for ideas brainstorming.
Right. You know, the other thing is when you're saying yes, hybrid over on Twitter, right? I wonder if that's a permanent thing or whether it's a temporary thing. It'd be interesting to know, right? I've got a comment here on WhatsApp who says, please, I want to be anonymous. He didn't say that. My office is dying to get everyone back to office, but the bottleneck is now at the meaty approval, which has not been approved yet. Looking at the traffic jam outside my house, I hope to have hybrid arrangements so that I can avoid Monday. Monday and Friday traffic. My previous company announced permanent work from home policy, but they recently just reverted that decision. Anyway, I still prefer working in office, more engaging and have separate space for work, but not daily because the effort to drive and the cost of traveling, right? And these are the other factors to take into consideration as well. You know, so we've got an expert here for on a more local perspective on the future remote work, and we have head of operations at Randstad Malaysia, Fahad Naim, on the line. Fahad, we want to know, is Malaysia barreling towards implementing remote work on a mainstream scale? Why or why not?
Well, this is one of the questions that all the organizations are discussing and talking about it. While I do think that it is going to take some time for people to change their mindset when it comes to hybrid or remote working, but employers that we've been speaking with, they do show genuine interest shifting toward hybrid or remote working model in the future. And most of these organizations, I think they've already figured out digital tools in order to, you know, track their employees' performance, productivity, or increasing collaboration working from home. So to answer your question, yes, I think most of the organizations are talking about going remote or hybrid in the future.
Okay, Fahad, what are the pros and cons that you see of remote working, of remote work becoming almost a standard practice in the average Malaysian workplace for the employer?
So the process of implementing remote work, I would say, is rather digital driven because it is helping organizations to be more creative and be more innovative. And these companies are also attracting like-minded candidates too. Mm. So if I were to look at a couple of obvious benefits out of this remote work would be a lower attrition because, you know, one of the most attractive benefit that employers used to offer before pandemic was work-life balance and flexibility. And with this remote model, I think every other company should be able to offer that. So I think to some extent, these organizations should be able to control the attrition in the organization. And the other one that I think is going to be reducing costs, the spending on real estate, which is no longer you will have to have a fancy office in a middle of a city and you have to pay a heavy price for that. Or even you're planning to expand the office and you're looking for in another office within the same building, same floor to hire another 20, 25 people. That is going to be something you could always manage it through hybrid or remote model. Well, however, the downside, or I would say the challenging part, would be lack of social interaction, which may eventually impact the employee morale and overall company culture too. So I think just implementing remote work is not enough, but companies also need to think of how do we sustain the culture that we had in our physical environment. But if it's not sustaining, is how do we create a new remote or hybrid working culture that is eventually to have a positive impact, you know? So that's one of the a detailed topic to discuss, but I think that's going to be one of the biggest challenges which I see the companies are going to face.
So on the flip side then, what about the pros and cons for the employees?
Yeah, so there one of the biggest plus for employees would be, you know, saving a lot of time, not stuck in a jam for hours, commuting to work, and you end up saving some money too, and you can spend more time with your family working from home. And on the other side, there are some challenges too, which is employees not having a clear boundaries between work and personal life. And, you know, people living in a bigger family that might be distracted sometime, or not having a proper resources, like, you know, a proper laptop or internet connection is weak. And that's anything which is required in order for them to be productive from home. On the other side, where HR need to play their part, we're creating a clear policies outline of the company and setting up the expectation in a remote or hybrid working model. So it could be, you know, managing timesheets or having a proper digital clock in, clock out system, you know, how many hours anybody's spending working from home. And also very important is establishing communication channel because working from home, a lot of people are communicating on WhatsApp and non-official channels. And that's when you can't really set the right boundaries between, you know, your personal life and your work life. So these are some of those steps that companies need to take in order for them to get the better productivity out of remote working model.
Do you think the remote working model benefits some demographics more than others? People like, you know, working parents, carers, the disabled community, for example?
Yeah, it is definitely for, especially for working parents or caregivers, anyone sick in the family, or relative, it could be your elderly parents at home. So that is going to be a big plus that, you know, you could spend more time at home. And the other one would be, I would say, this younger workers who have multiple jobs sometimes. You know, they work as a freelancer. Sometimes they pick up a job as a yoga instructor, voluntary website designer, or some other projects they pick up online. So they would have extra some working hours. They could sustain two jobs. One is more like a short-term part-time assignments and make some extra money. And also, I think that the disabled community is also going to get a lot of benefit out of it, is employers will create jobs which will enable these disabled to work from home and they don't have to be physically in the office. So that's one of it.
Mm. And is there any difference between smaller SMEs and bigger companies like GLCs and MNCs in the way in which they've approached or adopted remote working? And in your mind, if so, what? And if not, why not?
I think having options to work remotely, it is going to help both MNC and SMEs. So, of course, attracting a large pool of candidate who wants to have flexibility. But I do think that it is going to take a lot more work for GLC and MNCs to introduce remote or hybrid working. But it's not impossible. Easier if they have a global directive to shift to remote work as a policy and a best practice, which will be shared as on a global level. Mm-hmm. Where if you talk about some of the other industry which are still not ready, or I would say will struggle looking into digitalizations as of yet, which is hotels and commercial airlines, supply chain. But I think moving forward in the longer run, which is, you know, there's a lot of discussions around 4.0 automation in manufacturing side. So eventually, those industries will be digitalizing to some extent, and there's a possibility in the future to have a remote working model in those areas too. However, for startups and SMEs to shift to from office to remote work is typically easier, I would say, especially if they've been working in a co-working space, so it's much more agile for them to work from home. And on the other hand, that we have professional services like consulting, recruitment, technology, which is, they might find it very easy to digitalize their services and processes.
So what are some of the new SOPs companies have been adopting to streamline remote working?
So the switch has to happen from process-driven approach to outcome-based. What I mean is there's no longer a need to monitor what your employees do on a day-to-day basis if they're working remotely. As an employer, what you need to do is having a very clear expectation. What is the outcome you're expecting from your employees? And on the other hand, employer need to trust their subordinates' ability to get work done even without being personal oversight. Excel trackers, timesheet, project optimization, time optimizations tool. There's so many more different type of online tools available you can make a use of in order to measure performance. But again, this has to be an outcome-based approach rather than the process.
What are the main challenges HR leaders may face in the process of transitioning their company's work policies to allow for flexible or remote working?
So instead of immediately replacing work desk with the leisure amenities, companies need to carefully think about how they optimize workspace. So it can be a collaborative space, you know, room designed for a group conference call or in-house events that you want to conduct, probably a lecture room, business room to host guests, or maybe a big pantry for fireside chat.
Okay, I think we need to take a short break here, folks. We're going to have a short break here on Enterprise BizBytes. When we come back, more on these numbers. You're listening to me and Frieden. We are asking that question of, is your company implementing remote work permanently? Why or why not? You can let us know on the polls on Twitter and Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Also, get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899.
Benchmark for managers. BFM 89.9.
Hello there. This is Frieden Liu together with Richard Bradbury's Enterprise Biz Bites. Today we're asking the question, is your company implementing remote work permanently? Why or why not? We're halfway having this conversation with Fahad Naeem from Randstad Malaysia. And we'll continue our chat, but maybe a quick look at the poll results so far.
Yeah, it's now shifted to 80% over on Instagram and over on Twitter. Not much change there. 48.8% saying yes, but only hybrid. 20.5% of you saying yes, all remote. 19.7% of you, bless you, know you're all back in the office, with 11% of you with no, not applicable. applicable for me.
Right. So we were asking Fahad Naeem for a more local perspective on the future of remote work. So Fahad, you know, I just also like to find out as well, right? How can leaders adjust their style to include remote, flexible workers?
It would be human forward approach. Take a deliberate steps to address the gap between worker satisfaction and productivity and implement new policies to create kinder work environment. And I would recommend to all companies to have some sort of a feedback survey from your employees to understand their sentiment. Just check in with employees how they're feeling toward the organizations and COVID. Make sure that you take actions and address all the dissatisfaction. Also, one thing can help is changing how you communicate to your staff. Instead of giving instruction, give them guidance so they can learn and do it on their own.
And how might offices themselves change physically in the wake of the uptick in remote working? Smaller spaces, cubicles, less leisure amenities?
HR will need to evaluate the current employee benefits and offer more work-from-home benefits, such as could be a Wi-Fi allowance, it could be some sort of insurance coverage, or a laptop allowance, it could be anything. Also developing new SOPs, conducting trainings to help people understand the reason and the change that they might face during this transition. Designing training related to leading in this hybrid or remote working model, making sure that employers are showing empathy to employees beyond work to understand what are the other factors are impacting their performance. But not just that, it has to be, you know, as an organization, we need to create that safe, genuine environment to accept employees to work remotely. And that is the entire workforce, no matter the tenure, the age, gender, needs to change the way they measure productivity and understand that work is what you do and not where you do it.
Okay. How does the shift towards remote work impact specifically this Asian concept of the 996 culture? You know, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week. How does that change?
When we talk about 996, that creates the issue of presentism and it does not benefit anyone. What ends up happening is employees are burnout, less productive, and employers likely to face high attrition. There's a great focus on work-life balance, which can be achieved through remote or hybrid option. One of the surveys that we conduct every year is called Randstad Employer Branding Research, and in which we try to find out from job seekers, what is the couple of things that you look for when you are looking for a new employer? And last year, 62% of the respondents said that they were looking for work-life balance from employer. And this year, it's 74%. So every year we see the demand for work-life balance is continuously increasing. Regardless of Asia or not, the shift away from 996 must happen for the health and safety for everyone.
Now, with less workers in the workplace, could this also be potentially a more sustainable way of working?
Well, no doubt there are more and more companies are on board with ESG, which is your environmental social governance, and it is kind of becoming like a new currency for the business. And if you look at it from the greenhouse gas emission reduction, remote work is playing a part in it because there's not many cars on the road anymore. There are discussions around paperless office, you know, reduce air conditioning, electricity consumptions, minimizing infrastructure. There's a lot more discussion about eco-friendly environment, and companies are playing their part as much as they can in any possible way.
Okay, Fahad, final question. What are your thoughts on the companies that might be hesitant or even outright unwilling to adopt remote or even flexible working?
So when we talk about reorienting entire work from an office-based setup to a hybrid or remote arrangement, the question for employer is less of why, but it's more of how. And this is a reality where more and more candidates are expecting companies to offer flexible or remote work, especially after COVID. Any company who do not offer will be having challenges to attract good talent or even retaining good talent in the organization. And it is really on the companies of how they want to be perceived, not just by their workforce, but also their competitors, customers, and potential candidates as well in the market.
Right. That was Fahad Naeem from Randstad Malaysia, head of operations. You know, a couple of things he said, right? I mean, it's your competitors, right? Talent choosing to work with one organization over another. How appealing are you as an organization? That's important. Mm.
I think that's definitely changed as well, hasn't it, over the last couple of years. Less of, I need to find a job with anybody that will employ me. Mm. And now a case of, okay, I now have options to go for companies who kind of we see eye to eye. You know, they're willing to give me this flexible time, and I'm willing to work for a company that allows that. Mm. You know, it gives you that space to breathe, not only to be creative, but also to work with a company who is forward thinking.
Mm. And you know, the funny thing he was saying about there are less cars on the road. Well, I see them slowly coming back.
Yeah, Friday, Frida, the amount of cars on the road on Friday was crazy when I was heading into the office.
Right. So there you go. You know, slowly coming back. We're asking this question. You say company implementing remote work permanently. Let us know. Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.